What a mind-blowing event. Call it the rapture, call it the harpazo, call it the grab, call it whatever you want.
It's awesome.
We're going to be reunited with all our saved loved ones who died. And more importantly, we're going to meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. It's going to happen. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at the rapture of the church.
Yes, we will, Dave, and the implications of this truth we will see today might just change your life if you're willing to listen. So let's get right to it. Turn with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 13 to 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
It's just a term for coming, but people have made it a technical term for the second coming. So they say, oh, the word is parousia, so it must mean the second coming. Well, that's just bad interpretation, because it literally means coming or being present in coming, in a sense. And it could speak of anything. Context determines the meaning of words. It just because that word is there doesn't mean it speaks of his second coming. It speaks of coming. You see, this word speaks of an action, not an event. The context shows the event. The word speaks of an action. So all that said, I believe as we look at this passage, we're going to see this is his coming for the church. This is not the second coming. I believe this passage will make it abundantly clear. And there are other passages that reveal this same truth. In a moment, we're going to see that our passage points to an event where Jesus does not come to earth and set his feet on the ground. Rather, he comes and grabs his believers up to be with him in the air. We're going to see that. It's quite different. And it is very consistent with the passage that I read earlier, but let's look at it again in John 14. It's very clear that there's going to be a coming for believers that doesn't end at earth. It ends in heaven. Take a look at this. John 14. And don't get confused. Just hold on there. It's really simple once we get to it. John 14. This is the night that Jesus was betrayed. He is trying to comfort those. He's telling them he's got to leave, but he's not going to leave them orphans. He's going to leave his spirit. He's going to give them another comforter, one such as himself. He says in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. Now, where is his Father's house? Is that in Portland? Is that in Spartanburg? No, it's not. It's in heaven. It's not on this earth, right? In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go, he was leaving, right? He was going to die on the cross, rise from the dead, and then go to his Father, right? He says, for I go to prepare a place for you. That's quite an amazing statement. That's in heaven, by the way. That's not here. Notice what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to come again, take you to the place he's prepared in heaven. That's not the second coming. That is what we call the rapture of the church. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So then, the second coming of Christ is when he comes to earth in judgment, and through that judgment purges and saves Israel, and that's at the end of the tribulation. But here, this is before the tribulation. This is at the end of what we would call the church age, the age that we are in right now. So then, Scripture also lays forth a paradigm that reveals before judgment, God takes his people out. Think about Enoch. He walked with God. God took him before the flood judgment. Think about what the Lord Jesus, the point he made in Matthew 24 and Luke 17 about Lot and Noah being delivered before judgment. Same thing with us, folks, being delivered. Even the Thessalonians were told that God has not destined them for wrath, but salvation. Chapter 5, verse 9. We know that they were waiting for Jesus, who delivers them from the wrath to come. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now, over and over, these passages reveal that what we're going to see is what we call the rapture. But the passage itself is the most compelling evidence there is. That's what it is. Take a look at it. The text itself, there is no room for this being the second coming. There's no room at all. Anyone who says it is twisting the word of God, is false in their teaching in this area. It's false. It's wrong. And it's destructive. There's no room for saying this is the second coming, because that's not what God says. And you better be careful when you say something is not what it really is. If you take God's word and you say it's something else, you better be careful. Okay, so he says here, he's going to explain, so that they wouldn't be ignorant, grieve like non-believers about their brothers and sisters in Christ who died. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the qualification, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And then notice what he says. He's going to talk about his return and resurrection and our heavenly reunion. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Hey, this is God's word. This is absolutely certain. Those who say this isn't the case, they are absolutely contradicting God's word. It's the word of the Lord. And on a side note, don't get your end time stuff from someone who has a newspaper in one hand, a Bible in the other. Don't look for tantalizing fulfillments by the TBN hucksters, whoever they might be. Don't do that. Go to the word of God. God's word tells us what is going to happen. It tells us what's going to happen. So by the word of the Lord, notice what's going to happen. He says, for the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. This is now the order of what happens. Thessalonians, don't worry. Your loved ones who fell asleep, they died. They're with the Lord, but their bodies are in the grave. And he says here, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede them. They're going to be first. This phrase, who are alive and remain, is an interesting phrase. Until the coming of the Lord. Every believer who is alive at the time Jesus comes, that's who this is talking about. You see, if the Lord was to come today, those who are alive and remain, that's us. If we died, and it's the next generation of believers, those will be the ones who are alive and remain. Okay? That's what it's talking about. And what's really interesting here is this word remain literally translated as left behind. Kind of interesting. You have all the shows and prophecy movies that talk about the ones who are going into the tribulation being left behind. But Paul says, we were left behind when Jesus went to heaven. But he's coming back for us. Tremendous. Tremendous. He says, literally, those who are alive and were left behind until the coming of the Lord. Quite interesting. So the emphasis here is that every true believer on earth has been left behind right now. We're not with Jesus personally. We will be. He's coming back. So those who are alive and remain or left behind until Jesus comes, we have those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And he says, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. That's the order. Those who die, they're going to be dealt with first when he comes. Then those who are alive when he comes will be second. Okay, that's the order. And notice he explains more details. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, very emphatic, will descend from heaven. Hey, that's where he was, preparing a place for us, wasn't it? And with a shout, three things, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Now there is great grammatical emphasis again on the Lord himself. He is descending from heaven. This is the event. He's descending from heaven. Now where does he descend to? We'll see in scripture, he ascends to the clouds in the air. He doesn't come all the way down, but he comes down and then takes us up. Look at the middle of verse 17. We see the clouds in the air. Then we who are alive remain, we caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord where? In the air, not on the ground. This is not his second coming. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. So then, the coming of the Lord Jesus for his people, his believers before judgment, is not the same as his second coming in judgment. Jesus came to earth for the benefit of the entire earth to bring salvation, his first coming. He is coming in his second coming to bring judgment to the entire earth, those who have rejected him. It's not the same coming as seen in Zechariah 14, Matthew 24, Revelation 19. That's where he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and executes judgment and delivers Israel. Here, he is coming as far as the clouds, and then he gathers his own to himself, as we'll see. So what else does it say about his descent? Three things. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. This term with is a preposition in Greek, and with the dative. What's that mean? It means in or within this sphere. Within the sphere of a shout, within the sphere of the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. So the term shout literally means the shout of a command. Kind of interesting. It was used to describe the cry of a ship's master to its rowers. Row, 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 right? It was used of a military officer to his soldiers. Turn left, turn right, grab your guns, whatever it is, right? It was of a hunter with his hounds or a charioteer of his horses. It's the sound of a command, a shout. And then there's the voice of the archangel. Now, we don't know if it's the actual voice of the archangel Michael or voice resembling that, but it says the voice of the archangel. That's what it says. And then it says in the sphere of the trumpet of God. It's a loud trumpet blast, and it's God's trumpet blast. So what's the point? This is a very significant event. Jesus is leaving heaven. He's prepared a place for his children. He's leaving heaven to come and resurrect the dead, to clean them with their spirits and bring home those who are alive and remain and glorify them. This is a pretty significant time. And I believe this shout most likely has to do with the command for bodies to rise up from the grave. That's quite possibly. Remember with Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. You know, I think it's possible. And then look at this. It says the end of verse 16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You say, wait a second. You told me earlier the dead were already with Jesus. That's true. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm talking about their bodies. You see, when you die, your body goes in the grave if you know Jesus. A non-believer goes there too. If you don't know Jesus, your soul goes to Hades and torment. If you know Jesus, it's present with the Lord. And so when he comes back for us, he brings everyone who has fallen asleep in Jesus. Every believer, their souls are with him. But the first thing that happens is their bodies are raised. And they're put together with the souls. They're glorified. The first thing. So he says here, it'll be compassed in the shouted command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the priority. So if you are anywhere near where a body might be or pieces of it or whatever, it's going to be risen first, right? And then notice what it says here. It says, now, if we die before Christ come, you and I, then we're going to be in this group. We're going to be with him, and our bodies are going to be raised. The Lord God will finish the job. We will not remain unclothed, just spirits with the Lord. We will be resurrected. This mortality must put on immortality, right? Glorified bodies never to sin again. So here's the scenario. For those who have passed away, when Jesus descends, he will bring with them the spirits of those who have died in Jesus, and the bodies of those spirits will raise first. They will meet their spirits. They will be changed, glorified bodies for eternity, immortal. But what about us if we're there, if he comes today? Look at verse 17. But we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. This is quite amazing. In the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This is wonderful. So those who are alive and remain are obviously believers who haven't died yet. That's us right now. We are alive. We've been left behind till Jesus comes, right? We're here on this earth. We don't want to be here. We want to be with Jesus. But he's working through us. He's doing his work, right? And it says here that they will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Tremendous, tremendous. Now, this term caught up comes from the Greek word harpazo. It's an interesting word. It means to snatch up, to seize, to forcefully grab, to rapture, to forcibly seize. Jesus used it in the parable of the sower, spoke of the evil one snatching the word out of the hearts of those who don't believe, grabbing it out forcefully. He also used it literally that no one can snatch us, grab us out of the Father's hands. Paul spoke of it in 2 Corinthians 12, being caught up, snatched up to the third heaven. Jude uses it to speak of snatching people out of the fire. Jude 23. And now we get our English word rapture from the Latin translation of this word harpazo. That's where this term rapture comes from. Someone says rapture. Now the people who have it all wrong will go, well, rapture's not in the Bible. Well, then I'll call it something else. I will call it the harpazo, or I'll call it the forcibly grabbing, or God's grab, okay? But it's God grabbing us. That's what it means. God's grab of us, right? Now, on a side note, we're going to fly a little bit. If you don't like flying, get ready, right? We're going to be doing a lot of flying, actually, okay? And you'll like it. I guarantee it. Okay, so here we have these. We're snatched up to be with him in the clouds. And you notice what he says here. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, verse 17, and thus we shall always be at the Lord, never separated again from his presence. We have him in us now, but personally, God who took on human flesh forever with us. We're caught up, which implies after the bodies come out of the grave, then we go. Second, right? And then there's something else. It implies we're going to be glorified. We're going to be changed. This is where we get glorified in this moment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you know the truth, it sure is encouraging. When you think about it. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, Paul says. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. Verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 15. But there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another flesh of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, that means it rots and dies. It is raised imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, that's the sin, cursed bodies we have. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Now, a lot of there, don't get caught up on it, but a lot of good truth. You can go back to it later. So also, as is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. We're going to have spiritual bodies for eternity that are without sin, glorified, as we're going to see. And so he says here, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Also, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The spiritual is not the first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is earthly, the second man is from heaven. And as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. As is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Okay, wow. And then notice what he says here. Notice what he says here in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, right? But we shall all be changed. There you go. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye and the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. That's what our passage is talking about. For the perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable have put on the imperishable and the mortal have put on immortality, then will come the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Long passage, but it explains what happens. One other passage. I'll read this for you. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with his body, with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has to subject all things to himself. One last passage. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We're getting there in our study also. His coming for us ought to motivate us to not sin. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him. It means rest in him, trust in him, his word in us, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. He's going to come. I don't want to be a sinner when he comes. We do sin. We confess our sin quickly. Be walking with the Lord, right? says here, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also practices righteousness born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. That's being glorified, right? This event we're talking about. We know that when he appears, there you go, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So either we will be resurrected and glorified, or we will be changed alive, right? And changed and glorified, right? There's going to be a generation that is here when he comes. Maybe that's us. Come, Lord Jesus. And we will be raised and meet him in the air. We will be with Jesus forever and our loved ones. Yes, it's hard. You miss your loved ones. It's only a time. You're going to see them. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Again, if you don't like flying, I know there's a time when you will. We are going to be flying, folks. We got a lot of flying in our future. Praise the Lord. What a mind-blowing event. Call it the rapture, call it the harpazo, call it the grab, call it whatever you want. It's awesome. We're going to be reunited with all our saved loved ones who died. And more importantly, we're going to meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. It's going to happen. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We will never be separated from his presence again, ever. We'll be with him forever. Our faith will become sight. The day of sin and darkness and temptation will be over. Death will be done. Yes, we grieve when our loved ones pass away. If they're in Christ, we grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We know we will see them again. Okay, so what are the applications for us? Obviously, this should motivate us to holiness, that we wouldn't be ashamed when he comes, that we're going to see him like he is and be changed. Therefore, we should desire to be pure. We should also remember, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, our toil is not in vain. It's not in vain what you're doing right now. You're going to be glorified. God's going to bring about even those rewards, as we say. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, right? Stand firm. Don't flip all over the place with emotions and stuff. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm, knowing your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. If you do, turn your eyes on Jesus. Confess your lack of focus. Trust him. Yes, you may be sorrowful. We know that. But you can be joyful too. Be strong. Keep working for the Lord. We've been left behind, but not for long. Okay, and then the obvious application here is from our passage, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Speak the word of God and allow God to comfort one another, right? It's difficult when a loved one passes away. We love them. We miss them. If they're in Christ, it's hard. We miss them. But comfort one another. You're going to see them again. It's going to be a great reunion in the sky and be with them forever with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've seen the hope of glory come to fruition when Jesus comes for us.
Yes, we have, Dave, and so we mustn't yield to the temptation to become discouraged and hopeless. Remember, we have Christ in us the hope of glory.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.